You know, I can divide my life up into places that I lived, and that is maybe the way I will tell my testimony. But I want to tell you that there's really only two divisions in my life, and that is, a time when I was in my sins and a time when I had my sins forgiven. And it is my desire and the desire of those who meet here that each and every one on this little hall, if you are as you have been born in your sins, that you might have your sins forgiven this afternoon and be ready for heaven. That's the most important thing. That's the only thing worthwhile in life. Everything else in life you will leave behind. But this matter of your soul's salvation is for eternity. You know, I was privileged to be born into a Christian home. It's a great privilege, but it brings great responsibilities. It could truly be said of me above many that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. From a very early age I was taught the Scriptures. From before I was able to go to Sunday school or meeting, I was taught the Word of God. The Word of God had a main place in our home. I can still see, I don't remember very much of early life in Newry where I was born. We moved to Downpatrick in 1957. And I can remember the little home there well, 67 New Bridge Street. I can remember well, two chairs and a big range in front. My mother and father sat at side of it. And my father always had his Bible. He could have played a little with us for a while, but he read his Bible. And this was a great thing to me to see, that every day, for quite a while during the night, after tea time, my father read his Bible. And then he would read to us. But I can remember an incident in Downpatrick. My father preached with a man, Sam Riley, who often came here to preach with him. And he bought and sold cars, and he often changed my father's car. At that time, he needed a trip docket to get into the south, down south. And he would have always borrowed my father's car. He'd have got him one with one of these triptychs. And I can remember my father telling me one evening, I might only have been about 4 years of age, if you learn the verse above the fireplace, above the heart, the stove, you can come with me tomorrow to get this car. And that's my earliest recollection of learning the Word of God. And the verse that I learned, we read this afternoon, ye must be born again. You know, that was true then, and that's true today. It was true of me, and it's true of each one in this meeting. You know, I didn't understand what it was. I'm sure my father explained it to me. But I want to tell each one in this meeting again, unmistakably, unequivocally, no matter who you are, where you come from, or anything of your background, it's absolutely imperative that you must be born again. The Lord Jesus was the speaker, the greatest preacher that ever was on this scene of time. And he could speak that day to the most religious man of all time, Nicodemus, and tell him that he must be born again, because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And I just want in my testimony to remind each one of the absolute necessity, no matter what else that you choose to do in life, or what other plans you have in life, make sure you don't leave this all-important matter out of being born again. That was emphasized in my young mind, in my conscience, in my heart, from that day right until I got saved. I don't ever remember a time in my life when I didn't want salvation. I don't ever remember a time when I didn't desire salvation. Didn't understand it, I must say, at a very early age. The first meetings that I remember, and I wasn't at very many of them, was about 1958 or 9. Mr. Paisley and Mr. Campbell were preaching in the Pilston Hall in Downpatrick. Very few will know where that is, but that was just opposite our home in New Bridge Street. Mr. Paisley stayed with us. He stayed in our house. Mr. Campbell came up every day. Someone brought him up. And I can remember those meetings. And there was quite a number got saved. Some went to Drumminess from those meetings. Soon after that, we moved from Downpatrick. And we went to Londonderry to live. My father was in the RUC. And we were told we were going there. And we went there for a few years. I don't remember much there, other than I went to Sunday school and any meetings that was on in the hall. And I can remember the main man that we were friendly with there was a Mr. Cecil Armstrong, and we used to go to his house on a Sunday, and my father and he would have gone preaching. But you know, the same message that I learned in Downpatrick, and I should have said at that time we went to Killaloe Gospel Hall, was the same message that was preached in Londonderry. And it's still the same message that we preach here and is preached in this place each Lord's Day. We were only in Londonderry less than 2 years, and then we moved to Belfast in September 1962. And I can remember that day we went to Mr. and Mrs. Reilly's for our dinner, and then we were shown our new home. The very first day we arrived, there was meetings going on in the hall in Newton Breda where we were attending. And it was Mr. Wallace and Mr. Beattie. I wasn't very old. I wasn't quite 8 years of age. My brother was about six. And him and I were at those meetings every night from we arrived until they finished. And the same gospel message again was preached. And it was, I always had a fear. My greatest fear was not dying. My great fear was that the Lord would come. You know, my father and mother were saved. My grandparents were saved. My aunts and uncles were saved. And most that came about our house were saved. And I often thought, what an awful place this would be if I was left behind when the Lord would come. And you know, sinner in our meeting this evening, it's no different today. And it was way back there then in 1962, and those years when I learned that truth, that the Lord was coming. You know, the preacher seemed to preach it more often than it is today. I can remember listening to Mr. Paisley shortly after those meetings in a big tent in High Street, and he was preaching the Lord's coming. And you know, I was afraid nearly to go home. Young boy in my sins. But I kept all these things very much to myself and would have thought about salvation when I went to bed. And when my brother would have been asleep, I would have tossed these things over in my mind and would have tried many a time to believe and to trust. But you know, God was good and kind to me and preserved me at school and preserved me from many things. You know, I believe that the word of God that was read to us in the home, that was another thing that stood out in my mind, was every night and every morning the word of God was taken down. And when we became of an age when we could read or follow the scriptures, we had our own Bibles and had to read first of all one verse right round the room. And then as we got older, it was three verses. And that way my father got the word of God into us. My father, I can honestly say, never preached to me. He never told me it was time I was saved. He never said anything to me. But I can remember a prayer. His prayers were for us that we might be saved. And what an example he left in the home to us as boys that live with me to this very day. I believe his prayers and the prayers of my mother, and there were many others praying, preserved us from many things in life. You know, it's very easy for young boys and girls at school to go astray. There were things that I could have done. There mightn't have been very much wrong with them, but I had great respect for what I was taught at home. I can remember going to other meetings. I can remember going to meetings in Purdiesburn Gospel Hall. The speaker then was Rother Riley and Sammy Smith. And I can remember Mildred here coming with us. The Clingant, the Riley family were very good to us. And they had a van and they went round Beaver Estate collecting ones. And I would have went in the van with Gertie and Nora. And sometimes Mildred would have been there. And I can remember on one occasion sitting at the back of the door and leaning on the door and the door opening, and I could have fallen out. But it was Mildred that caught me. I don't know if she remembers that. It's long ago. But I can remember God's hand upon me. And I remember those meetings. I remember the preaching of the gospel. And again, I would like to have been saved. But in, I think it was 1966, Mr. Millen and Mr. Paisley had meetings in Craigie Street Gospel Hall. And I can remember going down to those meetings every night with Arnott, Mr. Millen's son, in the bus. And then we come home with Mr. Millen after the meeting. And I can remember one Friday night, sitting in the back row on the left, and the place was packed full. The hall was bigger than it is now. It was crammed full of people. And there used to be people wait behind after the meeting on occasions. And I can remember this Friday night, I would have loved to wait up behind and spoke to the preachers. And I knew enough, and I'm sure each one here knows that the preacher cannot save you. But sometimes it's nice to speak to the preacher or speak to someone and get a little help. And I can remember saying to myself, I'm going to stay behind. But the devil came in, and the devil still comes in and blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. And the devil said to me that night, what are you going to tell Arnott? Arnott and I were bosom pals, same class at school, played together, went to meetings together. And there the devil used that simple voice to me, and that was difficult. How was I going to tell him? And I didn't stay. I went on home just as usual. Would have longed to have been saved. But you know, I look back on that, and if God had taken me at my word that night, I believed I could have been saved and should have been saved that night, just about 11 years of age. And I had no more opportunity. But isn't God good and kind? He's good even today, that he has lengthened out the day of grace thus far, and he's given each one in this little meeting and those outside another opportunity of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There were many meetings I attended with my brother. If my father wasn't able to go, the Riley family generally took us. We were under the sound of the gospel, I would say, almost nightly from September 62 until I got saved in March 68. There seemed to be a lot of meetings going on around Belfast, Eden Derry, Grohl, and sometimes we went a little further afield. My father always would saw to it that we're under the sound of the gospel. And I want to tell you, I never rebelled once. I never had to ask to go. My father just would have said, there's meetings, and we got to know about them, and we knew it was the done thing. And I'm thankful to God for those meetings. My father never once asked me, was my homework done? Had I anything to do? He did expect us to do our homework, and it's important to do that. But I knew from a very early age, this man has only one object in life. There's only one thing that he's interested in, and that was that he would see his family saved. And he told me the day before he died, I asked him, had he anything that he wanted me to do? Was there anything he wanted to say? You know what he said to me? He says, my life work has ended. I saw my family saved and my grandchildren saved. You know, the man died contented. And I trust that each one in this little meeting can see their family saved. It's the most important thing. God was good and kind in our family. There's many have been brought up the same way as we were brought up. And sadly, they didn't get salvation. No fault of the family. But the devil, he gets at ones in different ways. But God was good and kind. And I trust that he will be to everyone here this afternoon. 1968, the year I was saved, meetings came to Newton Breda in February. The speaker was Mr. Jim Hutchison, a man I had never seen before that I know of. I had met many preachers, and many preachers had been in our house, but I don't ever remember this man. He came to me the first Sunday, and he asked me my age. He asked me my name. He knew it all. He said something to me that no one had ever said before, or if they had, I had never taken it into consideration. William, you've attended much meetings, many meetings more than most, and these could be the last series in Newton Breda, could be your last opportunity. And I remember making up my mind that Lord's Day, sitting in a little Ford Anglia car, waiting on my father coming out from the hall. If there's salvation for me, I'm going to get saved in these meetings. And I can remember my brother and I coming each night with my father. He went into the prayer meeting. We sat in the second row from the front. And we would have read tracts. And the preaching commenced. And it went on. And I heard nothing different. And sooner you'll hear nothing different. The same message is still the same today as it was then and will be until the Lord comes. Remember going out one night. And there's a girl in front, a young girl, 16 years of age. She said that she'd got saved. And it was her first series of meetings, probably about her fifth or sixth time in to hear the gospel. And Mr. Hutchison said to me, William, there's a girl with had little opportunities in relation to yours, and she has got saved. He says, you know, not everyone doesn't get saved. All not get saved. But he says, all can be saved. That made me very more determined to go in for salvation. That was a Friday night. And I can remember going home. And when I thought my brother was asleep, I got the wee light on and I started to read my Bible and read some tracts that my mother had given me. And I can remember thinking, I have missed salvation. I have missed it. There's no salvation for me. I have tried to be saved. I have tried to trust, and I can remember I was about to get back into bed again when that verse came before me in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I can remember just in a flash accepting that the Lord Jesus had died for me on the cross and that my sins are forgiven. I remember getting into bed and thinking, that's very simple. How could I tell anyone who was saved? That's very simple. That verse in John 6:37 came before me. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, that's God is true. Anyone that comes this afternoon, he will not cast out. That was a Friday night. I didn't tell anyone until the Tuesday. And some people must have noticed something and they got talking and I said I'd got saved. And my father talked to me and wise man as he was, he never said to me, you're saved. In fact, a good bit later on in life, I was maybe 17, Mr. Knox was in our house and he asked my father, is this young man saved? And my father said, he's of age, ask him. About a year later, I got baptized and was received into Newton Breda Gospel Hall, where it continued on up until about a year ago. We now meet in Dunmurry Gospel Hall. But you know, this, the salvation that I got, it's the same salvation that you can have. It's the same salvation that you need. None of us ever deserved it. I didn't get it because I was brought up the way I was brought up. I didn't get it because, as others would have thought, I didn't need it. I was good. I did nothing wrong. I did plenty of things wrong. But in the eyes of the world, I want each one needs to know that because the way we have been born in sin, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Everyone needs salvation. And I trust this afternoon with this simple word of testimony that you will consider this matter. Consider it above everything else in life. This is a terrible world. We're living in the last of the last days, perilous times. We don't know what's going on. But there's one thing sure. Those of us who are saved, we can lay our heads upon the pillow at night and go to sleep and know that whatever happens, we'll be at home with the Lord. I trust this afternoon that some of you folk, whether young or older, ye all will close in with God's offer of salvation. Shall we pray?